church.
Can you discuss homosexuality in the church?
Absolutely. I love this topic now because the Lord's just like shown me so much more about things in general. I don't know if you want to take it for you. Want to just continue?
I think just because of previous conversations that we've had in previous years.
Yeah.
I liked what I heard you talk about it several years ago. So I think it's just go ahead.
All right. We can talk about homosexuality. I was just talking about adultery. All right. Let's talk about this first. Let me define the word sin. Okay.
Right.
The word sin just means it's wrong. Sin does not mean you're breaking one of God's commandments. Let's pause on that for a second. Transgression means you're breaking a commandment. Sin just means it's wrong, right? That's all that sin means. Two different kinds of sin, 1 John talks about, right? The sin that leads to death and the sin that doesn't lead to death. There's a sin that'll kill you and a sin that won't kill you. The sin that kills you is unbelief. That's transgression. You're breaking God's law. God has one law of faith. You're breaking God's law if you're outside of putting faith in just Jesus, just Jesus, just Jesus, just Jesus, just Jesus. That's transgression when you're in unbelief. Sin just means it's wrong. So sometimes when I'm talking to somebody, just so you know, as a good conversation thing, sometimes if I were talking to someone, especially someone that's not saved, I wouldn't use the word sin. Because sin is somehow used in a way that means you've offended God, or that it's somehow punishable, or that it is breaking God's commandments. That's how sin is, just so you know. Another evangelical misteaching that all these things are breaking God's commandments.
Yep.
They used to break God's commandments. If you live by the law of works, by the Ten Commandments, yeah, of course, homosexuality and all these things are breaking God's commandments. If you live now, listen to the whole thing here. If you're doing those things in the new covenant, there's only one rule: believe in Jesus, right? Love the Lord your God with your heart. So just because something is sin doesn't mean it's breaking God's commandments. So sometimes in conversation with people, I wouldn't use the word sin. I'll just say it's wrong. Of course, it's wrong. It's not right, and it is wrong, right? We don't believe that homosexuality is right, and it's harder to say that for some people in this day and age than going back 20, 30, 40 years. But homosexuality is. Let me say this though. Homosexuality is something that people are born with. That's a truth. Am I saying that because I'm being? Oh, Pastor Mike, you're being. Swayed by kind of the modern, politics and things like that. No, not at all. The Bible says that sin, in other words, wrongness, everybody's born with, right? Everybody's born into Adam's sin. Perversity, in other words, like a making crooked of what is actually straight, a making perverse of what is actually correct. Every person's born with that. It's no different. So when people say, oh, someone was born gay, I believe with that. I believe that. Your sexual preference, for a lot of people, sexual preference is something that they're just like, I feel this, and I don't know how to escape this because this just seems like who I am. Well, it is part of who you are when you're born that way, right? When you're born of Adam, it's part of who you are. But I'm going to tell you this, though. Homosexuality is not any different than any other sin or anything else that's wrong. I'll talk to somebody that does anything else I don't agree with. And I'll talk to someone who is a homosexual, and I'll be friendly with them just like I'd be friendly with anyone else. You don't kick the dust off your feet because someone's homosexual. Of course not. I from a purity standpoint, if I were to be judged before God just based off of my own purity, I would fall short of that myself and no more or less than someone who is homosexual. Yep. So it's not that that's different. Here's where it becomes different, though, right? My thoughts are not perfect still and have not been perfect in the past, even when it comes to sexual desires and things like that. And how can I say that? Because every single person even watching this, it's true for all of them too, right? Mm-hmm. All of our thoughts have not been pure when it comes to sexuality or any other topic for that matter, right?
Yep.
That's a truth. Like I said, that goes for every single person. Our thoughts have swayed one way or another before. Right? The Bible even says the heart is deceptive above all things. And that's talking about everybody, not just some people. Right? But I don't justify it, though. I still say it's wrong. I don't agree with it. And I know that I'm renewing my mind so God can transform it. And if you are a believer and say, I have tendencies and sexual desires that are toward the same sex, but I don't agree with it, and I'm renewing my mind so that the Lord can transform me, you're in the same boat I am then. You know? And just so you know, if you are a Christian, you are not a homosexual. Even if you have a sexual attraction toward the same sex, you're not a homosexual. The Bible says, such were some of you.
Yep.
And even names homosexuality in that. Such were some of you. And he's talking to all Christians. You used to be that. You have a new nature now. Just because your flesh has desire does not mean that in your spirit, that that's the new nature that you've been given in your spirit, and that new nature that's working out to your flesh even right now as you renew your mind. So homosexuality is not any different than any other sin. What is different in our culture today is that we justify that or we don't justify adultery, for instance. We'll say, okay, you're a man that's married, and if you go and have sex with somebody, and I'm trying to taper my words a little bit just in case we have, you know, younger kids or some listening, but I guess we've already said homosexuality or the word sexual enough times, so. If you have sex with another woman, that's wrong in our culture today, somehow. But if a woman sleeps with a woman or a man sleeps with a man, that's not wrong, right? The weird thing about homosexuality today is that we've justified it. So, for instance, are we going to have someone in our ministry, work in our ministry, that says, I'm in a gay relationship, and I think that's correct? Absolutely not.
Right.
Would we have someone in our ministry that has had attraction towards same sex, but says, you know what, that's not who I am, I have these desires, but that's not who I am right now, and I'm renewing my mind? Would we have someone like that work in our helps ministry? Absolutely. Because guess what? Are we going to fire everybody that has a wrong desire? Of course not. But when you justify it, here's the difference. Now, it's not just your flesh that's having a desire. Now your judgment is skewed. And I don't trust your judgment, therefore, then. It's a difference between me doing something and saying, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. Then if I do something and I say, nope, I'm justifying it. This is right. Because in one way, I've done something, but my judgment is sound. Oh, I'm sorry. I do, just so you know, Pastor. When you apologize for something you do, that's what you're saying. Pastor, I'm sorry for what I did. I'm letting you know, even though I did this, I don't approve of that. I want you to know my judgment is still the same as yours. And if I'm a homosexual and I say, just so you know, I've dealt with this in the past, but I don't agree with it any more than you do. Just the way that you can have a sexual desire that's not correct, and I could too. You know, I don't agree with it, though, and I'm renewing my mind, and I'm growing out of it, though. And it's not something, obviously, if there was a serious sexual issue, like a sexual predator or something, that's different. If there's a danger or something like that. But if someone has themselves under a, for lack of a better word, control to the extent that they're like, you know, it's not an issue like that, but I'm just saying I've had these desires in the past, we'll have you in our helps ministry because we trust your judgment by you judging it the same way I do then. It's not right. I don't agree with it, but I've had these desires. Okay. That puts you in the same boat I am then, because that means we're both believers that are learning, that don't approve of something that is wrong, but we both say, you know, we're both like Jesus, and we're learning that, and we're being transformed.
I think it's totally different. Just to bring back one more point that you made and just say it again, that when you are a born-again believer, you are not your thoughts.
Absolutely.
Right? And that's a huge thing to understand. Because right, you're not your thoughts, and Ms. Kim just said you're not your actions.
You're not your flesh.
Because exactly, and actually, I was just looking at that, and I will go ahead and I'll read it, because he says, and I think it's in, where is it that it is? I think it's in Romans, but he says that you are no more in the flesh. Right,
but
you are in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God live in you. But that we would just understand that we are not our flesh. Your thoughts are not perfect, and you think because, well, I remember thinking like this before I was saved. But the thing is, but you are not the same. You are a new creation. Old things, all of that has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And everything that is about you now is of God. So you're new. So your thoughts, yes, they need to be renewed, but you are not your thoughts. Because then you can say, well, how can I be saved if I'm still having these thoughts? Because people do that all the time. How can I be saved and I still have these thoughts, right? Well, that's exactly why The reformation of the mind is so important. That's why the renewing of the mind is so critical, so that we can know that we have the mind of Christ, we have the Spirit of God to teach us, and because he can teach us, then we know, you know what, in me is greater than anything that I have left in my mind from this world. He's greater on the inside of me. So it's just an important thing to mention again, and just to say it again, that you are not your thoughts. And like Ms. Kim just said, you're not your thoughts and you are not your actions. So the question that people are, well, can I be gay? Can I be homosexual and still be saved? Well, if you consider yourself to be gay, that means that you consider yourself not to be a new creation. So no, you can't be
right.
Gay.
Most people do misspeak,
right.
Obviously.
No, that's what I'm saying. But you can say, can I be saved and have incorrect thoughts that way?
Of course.
Yes. But they're not the same thing. Right. Because when you identify that way, then you're not understanding that what you're saying is that the only way you could still be that is if you were still in the flesh,
right.
Then you would still be.
Right, and like I said, I think to, you know, for one, the reason why we can say these things is because it's in your spirit that you're made a new creation first. Lots of great preachers, even the ones I was mentioning before, those are things that I first heard even from them, right? And the Lord has taught me for myself on lots of other things too and expounded on that, but you're made a new creation in your spirit. It's the spirits of just men that are made perfect, right? It's in your spirit, and now the Holy Spirit has control over your flesh. So that's why you don't have to relate to the flesh or to your thoughts, because these are things that are in the process of being transformed, right? That's what it is. But specifically, though, about homosexuality, that's the difference. And it's not just with homosexuality, mind you. Because, why are you picking on homosexuals just to say, you know, if someone was in a gay relationship and they said, you know, like, I'm in a gay relationship, I approve of it, and why wouldn't you let them in your ministry? It's not about homosexuality. If there's any, you know, hard-hitting wrong that someone says, I approve of it, well, you don't think like you're supposed to then. It's your judgment that I'm saying is wrong, not just the action. You know what I mean? We have people in our helps ministry that do wrong things. And we ourselves do wrong things sometimes. So it's not that you can't do something wrong. It's when you tell somebody, I'm sorry. You know what that tells me? You understand that that is wrong. And it puts your judgment in a correct place then. So, again, it's not necessarily about like, oh, you don't have someone who's homosexual in your ministry or someone that has those desires or whatever. The thing with culture today is that it's justified. And it said, no, it's correct. Because they were born with it, it's correct. And if you were to use that logic, then pedophiles would have to be correct because they're born with that also.
Well, everybody then has murderers, anybody, it doesn't matter because everybody's born like that. So,
and again,
therefore, everything should be allowable.
Again, what I don't understand, and this is a good argument for people, even if you're not saved, because that is people, especially people that are not saved, that's how you bully Christians and stuff like that to say, well, how can you say it's wrong? They were born with it. I don't understand. People are born with chemical imbalances too. Are you saying that that's right? Are you saying that that's correct? Because you're born with a chemical imbalance and now we're going to justify and not treat you? Because, well, you were born that way. How is that a justification for morality, the fact that you were born with it? I'm not even saying from a Christian standpoint. I'm just saying from in general. If we actually did what the political correct thing is to do today, to say that if you're born with a sexual preference, then we have to allow you, then we have to recognize you by law in that sexual preference, and we have to advocate it and encourage it and not say anything bad about it, do you know all the wrong things that people are born with, even from a non-saved person's perspective? You are prone. You are born with the innate desire to overeat, to eat fats and sugars and things like that. But people, even in the world, are fighting that today. They say, well, you know, oh, you got to live healthy, though, and you got to, you know, you're fighting something that you're born with. You say it's wrong. And again, like I said, there's a lot of different sexual preferences. There's bestiality. There's all these different sexual preferences that we don't recognize right now, but it doesn't make sense with their logic because you just picked one thing out. Oh, you know, if you're transgender or if you're this or if you're homosexual, all this, we'll approve of this, but we don't approve of bestiality somehow. I can't marry a dog. That doesn't make any sense according to their logic. You've picked one thing. And again, once you start getting away from the Lord's logic, right, you see Jesus and God instills his mind in you. When you start deviating away from God's logic and the way that God sees things, whether that's in morality or judgment or politics or anything like that, your opinion can be skewed in any which way. Here's my biggest thing. I can tell you that homosexuality is wrong, but God loves and God died for every single person that has homosexual tendencies, just the way that I could have a straight tendency that is wrong, right? and God still died for me, and it's not because of my works that Jesus died. It's despite my works, and Jesus took all my sexual impurity on himself at the cross, and God does not judge me according to that anymore. I'm a new creation, and I'm learning, and I'm growing, and God transforms me and my thoughts and all of that as I grow and renew my mind to Jesus, right? All that is true, but I forget my train of thought here, but just the concept of picking one thing out of that hat and justifying those things. That's what I was saying. I can state that homosexuality is wrong, or this sexual preference is wrong, or this sexual behavior is wrong, because I have a basis. But notice this. Anyone, and this doesn't just go with homosexuality or being transgender or any of this. It goes for any sin of the like. When people are telling you, no, Pastor Jose, you speak against homosexuality. Let's say I'm an unsaved person. You speak against homosexuality, but how can you say it's wrong? I would turn back and say, how can you say it's right? What moral standard are you judging by that you can look at homosexuality and say it's right? Even nature itself testifies against you. And how are you looking at that and saying it's right? You have no moral compass. You have no authority by which to state that. Now me, even if you disagree with me, I have an authority by which I can check up and say, Father, is this moral? Should I judge this as moral or should I not? I have a God that tells me what's moral. So I therefore have a basis. You may not agree with that basis or believe in that basis, but at least I have one. You, on the other hand, are justifying homosexuality without a basis.
This society. Right?
Now, you can say, an unsaved person should be able to say, I don't care if someone's homosexual. But when you make a moral claim, where are you getting that morality?
Yeah, right.
It's illogical for someone that doesn't believe in God or not consulting with God on morality to tell you, no, homosexuality is right. Who says who? You either you made that up or you heard it from someone else that did make it up, because you're doing what the Bible says, doing what is right in your own sight.
Yep.
And if you can do what's right in your own sight and justify homosexuality, then leave me to my supposed ignorance and let me do what's right in my own sight then. Obviously, that's not really what I'm doing, but for sake of argument, then let me do what I want then. How can you say that me claiming homosexuality is wrong is actually wrong? You have no basis, you have no moral basis to claim these things. So I wouldn't let anyone bully you around with that in this political correct culture that we live in, because things are wrong, and when someone doesn't have a moral basis to state things, you have no authority to be telling me what's right and wrong, because where are you getting that information from?
And the question was about in the church. So obviously we've clarified that.
Like from a health ministry perspective.
Right. So if you are in a homosexual relationship and you think it's perfectly fine, no, we won't allow you to be in our health ministry.
We don't agree with that judgment.
Right, exactly. We don't agree with their judgment. But it's not to say that if you're in a homosexual relationship and you're willing to hear the truth, that you can't come to church. Come to church, anyone who's willing to hear.
Oh, right, anyone,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, I just want to be clear. Like,
right,
we're
no, that's
just
a good
saying,
point, right.
You know, I mean,
because even if you're in a homosexual relationship and you justify it, hey,
right,
come on in. I mean,
right,
again, how do you get transformed unless you hear
right,
the gospel?
Right, exactly, that's what I'm saying. Come to church, listen,
absolutely,
you know, obviously.
Absolutely.
So
right.
I just want to just point that
right,
out.
And like
so,
I said, I would be friendly to someone who is in a gay relationship or is transgender or anything like that. I mean, you know what, I haven't had a lot of close relationships or any really with someone who's transgender, for instance. So, you know, even if I were to be a little bit uncomfortable at first because I'm not necessarily always exposed to that all the time, it doesn't mean, though, that in my heart I'm not trying to be cordial to you and accepting of you and in conversation. I mean, not necessarily what you do, obviously, but I don't have to, like, in other words, I don't have to come at you differently than I would come at anybody else. If you're willing to hear, it was prostitutes and tax collectors, etc., that were willing to hear Jesus, and he was like, hey. Again, you got to see people that are willing to hear the truth and grow, and people that won't. People that are willing to believe the gospel and people that won't. Not people that are gay or not gay.
Right.
It's just not the way it works, right? We all need Jesus to transform. We all need what Jesus has provided, whether you're homosexual or whether you're not. And I just don't, in resisting the political correct nature of culture today, I wouldn't go the opposite direction and just start like, seeing homosexuality as something like, oh, it's a go to hell free card, basically, because you're homosexual. It's not the case. None of us deserve what Jesus has given if we're going off our works, but all of us can be made worthy of all the blessing of God through the righteousness that is a gift through Jesus. And that doesn't matter what your behavior is like. And again, as you learn, you'll be transformed. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me also mention this, too. We don't talk about politics a lot right now, but because we kind of got a little political there for a second with the you know, culture and political correctness and things like that. I will say this too. I'm just going to talk for myself right now, okay? And again, lots of people, you know, if I get, you know, in people's minds, if this somehow lowers their my reputation, their mind or whatever, I mean, who cares then? Okay, so when it comes to like even voting and things like that, we talk about homosexuality and we talk about that in culture and we talk about, you know, there's a culture that tells you, no, you have to approve of these things because this is right. Again, they have no moral basis to say that, right? If you ask them, so you said that homosexuality is correct, or you said that being transgender is correct, or you said that all these desires that are then acted out in people that they're born with, I agree, they're born with, you know, everybody's born with their state that they're in. So in conversation with somebody, I would say, well, how do you know that though, right? So if you're someone that's discussing with, okay, so I'll give you that. So you did state that homosexuality is right. It's something that I shouldn't be criticizing. Shouldn't criticize homosexuality, shouldn't be criticizing transgenderism or being transsexual or anything like that. Okay, so how do you know that though? Well, because they're born with it. Well, yeah, but there's a lot of things that people are born with. I mean, obviously, you don't approve everything someone's born with. Again, like I said, you can be born with a chemical imbalance. We're all born with the tendency to want to overeat. We're born with, you know, just because a man is you know, after puberty, obviously, he has, check this out, right? I would say you don't agree with a man cheating on his wife, right? Oh, no, of course not. Well, I mean, the man, it has a bodily tendency to do that. You realize that, right? Like, a man is born with a sexual drive that kind of comes and kicks in during puberty, and you believe, right, that that's wrong, and yet that's in a person. That's a bodily tendency for a man to, if a man has a desire to look at another woman even, right, that's a bodily tendency. He's not making that up, right? He's feeling that for real. He really feels that. And again, all these things are transformed as you get to know Jesus. I'm not saying you gotta live like this, right? But I'm just saying though, right? But at the same time, for talking to someone who says, oh no, this is right because they're born with it or because they feel this thing. This is a real bodily thing. It's a biological thing. No kidding. Of course it's biological. I know it's biological. The Bible even tells me it's biological, right? Paul says, you know, talks about all these things in his flesh. He said there was these desires that were making war in his flesh in Romans 7. So it's in the flesh, of course. I know that. I get that. Before, you know, the culture even told us that this was biological, the Bible said it was biological. So I know it's biological, but like I said, it's biological to commit adultery also. That's a biological sexual desire that a man just left up to himself without God, without transformation, without anything, desires that. Women also too, but I'm just saying, like, again, in pedophilia, these are things that, like, that person feels that, right? That's not, like, they're not making that up. They feel that. They have a sexual preference. There are people that have a sexual preference for inanimate objects. People that have sexual preference toward animals. And where are you getting this information that you pick out homosexuality or being transgender as being somehow morally correct, but all these things are not? Even if you were to tell me that all these things are morally correct, I'd still ask you, where are you getting this information? Because this is the answer to their question, even though they wouldn't be able to answer that question to you. This is a biblical argument, just so you know, to make. Where are you getting that information? It's a biblical argument. Because we take these moral stances as just mere human beings. I'm talking about unsaved people. We take these moral stances like we're getting this information from some authority. And no, you're just making it up as you go along. You're making it up as you go along. The Bible says you're doing what's right in your own sight. Either you made this up, or you heard it more likely from someone who did make it up. Because if you went back 20 years ago, you wouldn't agree with this. Because it was frowned upon then, and now it's not. So you're just going with culture, and you've made this up. Morality, apart from God teaching you good judgment on morality or anything else, is fabricated. You have made this up. You've made a moral standard up, and now you're trying to hold me to it. And if you say, well, okay, but, you know, I got to speak my truth, though, and it's just wrong to me. Okay, so then you can't criticize me for what I say then. Then you got to let everybody have their own version of morality then. You cannot take a moral stance because you have no authority by which to say these things.
ReformInUs.com